Welcome to Creatives Grab Coffee, the podcast on the business of video production.
Creatives Grab Coffee is hosted by Dario Nuri and Kirill Lazarov from Labs Productions. Our goal is to share knowledge and experiences from video production professionals around the world. Whether you're a freelancer looking to start your own business or a seasoned business owner aiming to scale your company, this is the show for you.
Join us as we develop a community of like-minded creatives looking to learn and help each other grow. Welcome to the business of video production. Welcome to Creatives Grab Coffee.
Before we get started with the show, let's go over today's sponsors.
Do you have a shoot in Toronto? Do you need crew or a strong production partner to help you with your project? Labs Productions is one of the top production companies in Toronto and your go-to video partner.
With our strong creative skills and extensive network, we can help you achieve your goal. Labs Productions is able to offer you production services, white label services, or finder fees for project handoffs.
Reach out to us on our website at lapsproductions.com to learn more.
My name is Miran. Welcome to Canada Film Equipment. We are a boutique rental house based in Toronto. We are here to help you guys out with all production sizes. Feel free to contact us to get a quote if you are a production house and you're looking for lighting, camera packages, or lighting and group van packages. You can see our contact information in the link below. We're more than happy to help you guys out. Make sure you follow and subscribe to creativesgrabcoffee.com. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt. Welcome to Audio Process. We are a boutique audio company doing location sound, sound design, post sound, ADR, Foley. We service equipment. We do all your audio needs here in Toronto. We got you covered. Come on down, audioprocess.ca. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all of the other internet things to creativesgrabcoffee.com. They'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you. And we're all gonna have a real good time.
And now, let's begin the show. All right. Well, here we are at episode 100 of Creatives Grab Coffee. Welcome. We did it, dude.
I was going to ask who's going to do the intro for this episode. We should have done it at the same time.
I was assuming you were going to. I'm like, let's just both go at it at this point. Man,
episode 100, can you believe it? No, I can't. It feels like it's gone by pretty quick. I still can't believe the pandemic was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like it was almost yesterday that we were starting this podcast, essentially just to kind of keep us a little sane, as we've mentioned a few times on this
in a podcast. Hot office room, two overweight guys sweating their balls off because there's no AC at Kirill's condo.
Very sedentary. Well, I mean, it was also three lights that were blasting in that tiny room.
Yeah, but they're LEDs. They technically don't give off heat.
Technically, but I don't know. It was still one of those things. But yeah, though, what a crazy time that was. But yeah, it's been quite a ride to this point. Like, we're right now in the middle of 2025, so it took us 5 years. But that doesn't mean that it took us from doing it on a weekly basis. You know, we basically took first year, months off at a time. well, what happened initially was we did about 15 episodes in 2020. Took a break, realized very quickly what we have been doing wrong with our business. And we're like, okay, it's time to essentially change things up, figure out how to do things right. So we basically took like a year and a half off. And then I think it was in, I guess, early to mid 2022 when we started it up again and to be a little bit more serious.
I think it was March. Yeah, March 2022, we took it up again. And then, excuse me, we did... I think a consistent like 20 to 25 episodes every year since then.
Yeah, so like 20 in 2022. Then I think we did only like 10 or 15 in 23. 2024,
It's been like, I think it's been consistent like 20 to 25 episodes ever since.
Yeah, this year is where we did a bit more. This year we got a little bit more consistent. I think we're right now at what, 30 maybe even at 25.
No. I think it's the same amount this year. My goal for this year was to challenge myself to do an episode a week. And we were on track for that, but it's very time consuming. I don't think people realize how much time we need to put into this thing. Like, just trying to find people is very time consuming because you know, I gotta, number one, find the people that I would want to talk to, reach out to them, try to get like a pre-interview meeting going. After pre-interview, try to get them booked in. Not There's everyone a screening books process. In. Not yeah. everyone books in the recording date, and then there's follow-ups, and there's duds that happen as well. Pretty late into the process too. You guys would all be surprised. Like, there's duds that happen, like, after we've had, like, sometimes, like, two pre-interviews and everything. But we were on track to actually do weekly, and then we just got too busy with work. So yeah. I'm leaving it to once every other week currently, and right now we have enough episodes stocked up to last us till like September. So I think going forward it'll just be every other week we'll do an episode release. It just makes it a lot easier for me to like post these and whatnot, but we'll be posting a lot of the reels like at least 3 times a week, so you guys can always like catch up on everything there.
Yeah, it's a good kind of balance with everything, and then gives people like time to, you know, like see the one episode, you know, because sometimes by the time you might see the first or one episode, the next one's already coming out. So at this point, just trying to get like the best like value for our time with it. And especially now with what we've started over the last year, or I guess 6 months, like starting a second business, our time is going to be even more divvied up at this point. So it's going to be a lot harder to focus on this along with like basically the two main businesses that are going to be bringing in money. Cause as people know, this podcast, we're not doing it for
this one brings money in necessarily. Indirectly.
Yeah. It's not the one that directly brings it in, but because it's indirect, it doesn't need to be done like every single week. You know, we can go at our own pace, set our own schedule in terms of what works. But essentially, like, the main thing is like just getting to talk to different people in different markets has been very interesting, you know, and seeing a lot of the different topics and trends that people like to talk about every year is always interesting. And this year we've had a few topics that like kind of started becoming more and more consistent, right? Like, Daria, what was like one of the topics that you felt was maybe not surprising, but you know, it was like, oh, it's interesting that everyone's talking about this.
I'm not going to say niching because I'm tired of talking about that topic. I'm going to say something that maybe that hasn't been coming up on the show just because it's a private matter, but partnerships is the topic that I've tried to bring in sometimes on the show because I keep hearing about it off record, but you know, some people aren't comfortable talking about it. I was surprised to see how many people were in partnerships that then went south. So with them, like during the pre-interviews, like I would like try to pick their brain and see like how that went wrong and everything and whatnot. And the theme I kept hearing about was that they didn't have like some type of agreement in place. And some of them were surprising. It was like people that have been together for like long time, many years. So after hearing about all that, I told Kirill and I was like, I think we should probably get some type of partnership agreement in place.
I was telling this guy this for a while and he's like, yeah, we'll get to that eventually. But then all of a sudden it took talking to other people's failures to be like, oh yeah, maybe Kirill's right. Maybe we should start actually doing this.
Surprising. Like so many stories. And
because I'm having the difficult conversations. That's the problem. Like a lot of partners that get into business together don't necessarily always have the difficult conversations first. And that's where those frictions tend to happen, right?
I guess. I mean, we went through it. Also, just a note for people listening that are in the same spot we were in. If you're incorporated, it's not a partnership agreement. It's called a unanimous
shareholder
agreement, USA.
Yep. USA.
If you're not incorporated, then it's partnership agreement.
Not located.
And it's actually very easy to create. You can do it. I mean, we did it on ChatGPT. I forget what I fed it, but I think ours is pretty rock solid, actually. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty well rounded. We went through like multiple different versions of it, like different scenarios. And it wasn't hard to do, Because I think Carol and I also learned also, like, that's, I guess that's another topic, is we also learned how much these businesses go for. Again, this is off-record conversations that, unfortunately, to our listeners, you aren't privy to. But it was surprising how low these companies, like our companies, go for. And I guess that's all to do with, I mean, Carol, you can get into the reasons why.
Well, the thing is that we're dealing with a creative industry. We're not dealing with physical products as well. And in terms of like the kind of assets that you might have in a business like this, it's not all that much. And
well, no, assets can be a lot. The thing I want
can
you
be,
to get
can be, but
no, the assets can be a lot. It's the recurring revenue I wanted you to dive into.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the main thing that it's really difficult to quantify, because everyone, like in a lot of businesses, the way that things get quantified is by contracts that are like for like years, 2 years, 3 year kind of agreements. Those are easy to quantify because then you can actually forecast and see what money's coming in. But in our industry, it's not an industry where you know where your money's coming from. And even like production companies we were talking to on the show, they would even like share with us like, oh yeah, you know, like we've been around for 15 years, but I don't know exactly how much money we're going to make 3 months out.
And 20, 25 years, like they don't know, 6 months out.
They don't
like,
know.
What could happen?
Because they don't know six, they don't know two. They don't know even 2 months out. That's the crazy thing. It's like,
it's because we're per project business. That's the biggest issue. Very few of us have like longer term contracts, but even then it's not like year long contract, or like very few of us have like those year long ones, right?
Yeah,
but everything's per project, and even hearing much more experienced companies still have that issue, I'm like, man, like this is like a big issue with the industry as a whole.
Yeah,
but what are you gonna honestly do? That's the business we're in, right?
That's the business we're in, and I think the very first example of that was like we had like a client that we had worked with from like many years back, like I think since we started like 2014, early 2015. And it wasn't a major client, you know, it was just like an independent guy who created his own video content and things like that. And then we were basically doing almost on a monthly basis content for him up until the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we considered him like the grandfather client of Laps, you know, like, you know, he was the guy who was working with us from early on. Yeah. And then all of a sudden in 2020, it was just kind of like I think he basically figured out how to do his own content, which is understandable. And as soon as the pandemic hit, everyone got bootstrapped down and kind of figured out how they can do things themselves, which is perfectly fine. But the thing that killed us was that it was just like complete like cut off of contact, almost to the point where
you know what though, like what you know what though, like do you keep up with your dentist?
No, fair enough.
Okay,
that's I get that. No, I know, but it's just like we weren't expecting it, right? Because of how we saw that relationship. But then basically from that, it made us realize, okay, anything can happen with a client at this point. Doesn't matter if we've been working with them for 2-3 years on a consistent basis, they can just disappear all of a sudden because their goals have changed, their marketing goals have changed, their budgets have changed. That's the biggest thing. You know, like, especially if people move on, because sometimes you build a relationship with a marketing director at a company, you work with them consistently, and then they leave, move on somewhere else. That company with the new person that comes in, they bring in their own vendors. You know, this is an industry where you can't really forecast everything.
There's no consistency. And again, I guess
we are kind of like consistency.
We are kind of like dentists. Like a dentist is not expecting you to have come in with a broken tooth twice a year, right? He can't project that kind of income. Same thing with us. So I guess it's just one of those things I got to deal with. But again, that affects the value of the business, right? So it's recurring revenue is a big factor. Assets is another one. But again, like, and not really, that actually helps out a lot. I guess it was just the recurring revenue, the client list, all that stuff really affects the value of the business. But yeah, so I guess this, how do we start this? So yeah, it was value of the business, right? So a lot of our businesses aren't worth a lot. So figuring out like the split and everything was just some technicals. How did we get into this? We were talking about partnerships.
the agreement. Tangent went.
yeah. We did like the Trump weave. We got to weave it back to the to the main topic.
So the partnership agreements are, you know. essentially, we learned a lot by doing it. We were able to like go over different scenarios and situations, you know, like what happens if like something happens to one of the founders, what happens to the company, what happens to the business.
The main thing was just the payout amount, right? Like we were just trying to figure out, okay, so this is, if this is the value and your share is 50%, how do we go about paying that without handicapping the business? That was like the biggest obstacle. We were like the biggest thing we were trying to figure out, right?
Yeah. Which is, when you think about it, it's like pretty much like the main thing. Everything else is pretty straightforward. And, you know, like the one funny thing, though, for us is that it took us how many years to actually 11. Get one of these together? Like, don't do what we did, you know? It took us, what, 11 years to actually put
11 years.
Pen to paper an agreement? But
if anyone is curious or needs help with it, just reach out. I can send you like a one with some stuff redacted on it, like names. But, another tip for you guys, if you guys got a partnership, I forget the guest that told me this, he's going to be coming on, I think, after this episode release, from Montreal. I forget the name. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. But anyways, the next Montrealer that'll be coming on. He gave me this tip. Again, this is just a tip before I forget. If you got two partners doing this agreement, set up life insurance for you guys, because if something ever happens, you know, knock on wood, then you can use the payout amount to do the estate payout, whatever. So that's actually a pretty good tip. That's actually what took us the longest time to like nail down in the agreement, was like, okay, so when we get the life insurance payout money, like how is that distributed? That actually took us the most amount of time to figure out.
Yeah, it was just kind of because you're basically going through all these like different scenarios of what could happen. But it's like, and you know, just going over those things, like Daria and I are very like straightforward with each other when it comes to how we communicate, so we don't have these issues. But this is probably where a lot of these challenges probably happen to a lot of other people who go into partnerships, right? Where they start having these more difficult conversations about these extreme examples of what could happen, and then you start to see kind of like where they're, what they value or what they think their goals are, and it won't align with yours. So that's probably where a lot of those frictions could potentially happen. So yeah, when you get into a partnership with anyone, this is why they recommend creating these agreements, because it forces people to have conversations about things that they never would have thought of, right? Because where you are in your early to mid 20s versus where you are in your 30s, everything changes. You know, your values change over time. Like what you wanted to do in your early 20s is not going to necessarily be the same as when you're in your 30s, right? So, and that's why you also have to review these contracts every two to three years.
Every 2 years, unless something major happens, like we buy, I don't know, a piece of property or whatever.
Yeah.
We should tell them that so when we're figuring that life insurance stuff out, Kirill said the funniest thing ever. He was like, we're going through so we got a pretty decent policy, and we're going through the different scenarios, and he said the funniest thing. He's like, but wait. So the incentive with this life insurance policy is for one of us to go. And I was like, yes, Kirill. It made it,
but the way it was worded,
you really just say like the incentive is for one of us to go. I'm like, now you know why some people kill other people to get the life insurance policy.
I know. So we had to fix that up a little bit, where it's like, okay.
No, it was fine. You were just like, you're like, but wait, the incentive is for one. Like he said it so like serious. Like he was really like, he discovered it for the first time.
Well, basically, yeah, like, because it was just like a funny realization. It's like, this is a lot of benefit for this.
But the incentive is for one of us to go. I'm like, yeah, it's called an insurance policy.
It's crazy. But anyway, like the whole point of it is that if the point of the whole thing is essentially this, if you're going into any kind of partnership for any kind of business, not just, you know, a creative business, get an agreement so you can have those difficult conversations with people first, because as you will hear on other episodes, you know, people who have gone into partnerships, it didn't last for whatever reason, obviously because there are reasons that couldn't be shared on the podcast, because that's the thing, you know, it's such a personal kind of thing to talk about.
We heard a bunch of different reasons, like
off the record.
I mean, I'm not mentioning names, but we heard some normal reasons, some like, and then some out there reasons, which is surprising. I didn't expect that. But anyways, I can't share those with you. To finish off the life insurance thing, I would say if you're going to do it, get like a long-term policy. Like if you're expecting your business to, like if you're expecting to be in business till you're like we're in our 30s, we're probably, and we live in Canada, so we'll probably have to work till we're in our 60s. So we got the 30-year term because we locked in a lower rate. And then also, a lot of people don't think about this, but I thought about it. Inflation is going to kill the amount you'll get at the end of it. So if you go with like whatever amount you go with, if you factor in like 2% conservative inflation amount, it'll turn into half by the end of the 30-year term. So just something to keep in mind. I think a lot of people don't think about that. They think about the amount
as it's valued today.
But like if you think about it, like if you think about, for example, 250, in 30 years, that's like 120. If you think about 500, it's 250 at the end of the 30 years. So just something to keep in mind.
And that's how we learned how insurance companies actually make their money.
Yeah, like they I mean, number one, like we got it. For the bit, like the business is the holder, so they're also, I guess they're also assuming that a lot of corporations don't stay in business that long, so they're factoring the fact that okay, these guys are getting 30 year, but that business is probably going to stay in business another 10 years or something, right? So I think that's the other thing they take into consideration. But little do they know that we could run this with just one or two of us, so we'll probably be working for a while.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's one of the biggest topics, which was partnerships. And one of the other big topics that we've heard a lot of people kind of be somewhat concerned about is the topic of AI. And I feel like we've talked about it quite a bit on a lot of our episodes, but it is a recurring thing that, you know, concerns people in our industry in terms of like what jobs is it going to replace? What jobs is it going to diminish? But how is it also going to be helpful, right? And one thing I always talk about with people is that I see AI as a very efficient tool that you could use to help you in a lot of different aspects of the business. And if you look at it as a tool, then you could leverage it to help you push your business forward, because you have to learn to adapt with it. It's here to stay. It's not gonna disappear anytime soon, right? You know, it's like the DSLR revolution. As soon as that camera, that small form factor camera came out, everyone had to get with the times and adapt, because the industry is changing and it's constantly changing.
Yeah, I don't know. What AI, I think it could either put everyone out of a job or it might just never get past the point it's at now. I really don't know. I think it's pretty dangerous, to be honest with you. I think it's going to put a lot of people out of work. It'll make our costs a lot lower. Like, within the next couple of years, I can see us never, ever bringing on a makeup artist ever again. Audio op, I think those two positions are definitely on the way out. Even with the amount of gear a DP would
hot
need.
Hot takes.
You could probably, like, man, just imagine. You could probably light something up so, like, menially and then just have it adjust everything in post. Like, oh, I forgot that I didn't have a hair light that day. Add a hair light. You don't know where it can go, or it could never get to that point. They're starting to come up now with the video AI stuff, like Google VO 3. And I don't know, like in a couple of years where that can be, who knows? Like there's a video of a Tesla robot filming.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I don't know. In 10 years, so we might be out of a job. But if we go out of a job, like everyone else is like, I don't know, man.
But here's the thing.
It's going to be rough.
You keep talking about the things that are going to be coming in as basically the different tools that can be used. There's still always going to need to be some kind of creative vision and creative direction for all these projects. You know, it's like getting it's like getting different video tools that have made things efficient for us, like back in the day, right? Like, remember we used to use glide cams and steady cams for everything, and then the gimbals came in, that changed everything.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's it could go either way. It could go to the point where we just keep using it as a tool, you know, use it as a tool plus lower our costs, or like, do they really need to reach out to us type of thing? It could get to that point. I saw a video where
who knows?
They were using this, it's this new software where you can just use like a POV camera, like a GoPro on your head, just capturing like what you're seeing. Yeah. And then as you move around the environment, so the video I was seeing was like in a workplace kitchen. So it's a chef with a GoPro. And as he's moving and stuff, working around the kitchen, it was creating like a map, like a map of the whole space. And you could, they were creating like videos from that. So I don't know where it can go. It could get to the point where like our jobs are obsolete. But then again, a lot of other jobs will be obsolete too at that point. I don't know. You don't know where it could go.
Should we have not gotten the 30-year plan then?
I guess not. But it could go either way. It could get to the point where it just never gets to be that smart. That's also a possibility. Like I saw some
getting
some
the limitations.
Some article was talking about like the newer versions of ChatGPT-3. Like it's not actually becoming smarter. It's just using patterns more so. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a way bigger deal than like, you know, transition from film to digital or from TV to web and social. I think it's going to be a way bigger thing. And I don't know if anyone will be properly prepared for it.
I wonder what it's going to be the state of like content at that point when it does get to that, you know, where it's just like all the content you see is just constantly AI made. It's like, what are people even going to be watching at that point, right? It's almost like, I don't know.
It's the same thing now. Like, what do we watch now? Everything you watch is either like reposted content or AI generated at this point.
Yeah. Essentially, it's all up in the air. You know, we'll see what happens. Got to keep a close eye on it, but essentially the point is, and the one tip that we could suggest is, you know, try to adapt with it in whatever way you can. Start leveraging it, even starting small, you know, getting used to the idea. And like,
I think most people, it's helped. At least the people we've talked to, like, I think everyone we've talked to is using it in some capacity. I mean, you'd be really behind not using it right now. If you still haven't like booted up ChatGPT and like used it a little bit, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, you must be doing really well to not give a shit, basically.
Yeah. I think again, it's like, if it could even help save you a few hours a week, it's very much worth it to incorporate it in your workflow, because honestly, your time is so valuable now, right? And especially if you want to try to fit more work in, you know, to keep expanding, like, you got to figure out, you got to leverage whatever tools you have at your disposal to save you time. And that's the main thing. But anyways, we go into these into more depth with some of our guests in past, and I'm assuming also some future episodes that'll definitely come up again. But I think those are like two of the really main ones.
Leash was the other one. Like, so niching many people kept talking about niching this year.
But the thing with niching is that the thing that we've learned is that it's powerful. It's powerful to niche down, but you know what's also powerful is being flexible as well. You know, not limiting yourself to one type of content all the time.
No, I think it's just a case by case thing. Like, for some people,
that's what I'm saying. Like, for some it works, but also being flexible is also a good thing. It's like, you have to figure out what works for you. For some people, niching down really makes sense. For others, it really doesn't. So that's the one big thing we've learned with this show, is that what works for one company doesn't work for another, no matter what topic we're talking about, right? Like, everyone's situation is so drastically different because there's a lot of intangibles that you can't really quantify, you know, like, you know, it's location, where you are, your experience, your network, like, all these things are factors that you can't replicate in another company, right? And like, even with companies that we've seen in Toronto, like, not just in video, but also in photo, where similar markets, similar types of content that they do, or similar types of clients, they still have very different kind of things that work for them. You know, it's not easy to replicate it exactly the same. So, you know, like that's what the whole point of the show is essentially. Here are all these different case studies and examples of different companies and how they're operating. What works for them may work for you, may not. You have to test it out. And that's the main thing. Keep testing things out and try things out until you figure out what works.
Yeah. I think that's it really
for in terms main topics that
I,
yeah.
I noticed so far this year. Yeah. A lot of people, yeah. A lot of niche, or I don't even know if it's a niches or niches. I don't know what the
everyone says it differently, right? Like when I heard niche, I was like,
niche? Dude, there was a, I posted a reel with I think it was the Foxhole Media one.
Yeah.
I don't, someone like corrected Dave in the comments. Oh, it's not pronounced niche. It's pronounced. I'm like, what the fuck?
He got upset.
I think I deleted the comment. I was like, what the hell is wrong with these people?
I would have left that up just for comedy's
sake. Oh my God, man. Like, see, Dave, you got a hater out there. Someone was purposely like waiting a comment under your reel.
It's like, that's not how you pronounce it. Yeah. I mean, one other thing that some people have talked about is like, you know, if you have time, explore like different kind of passion projects that you can, that you want to do. You know, it really varies though.
That like, is the midlife crisis of the a video producer from what I've noticed. It's after 20 years, they start to say like, oh yeah, I'm starting to make original content, and it's always a documentary.
And they're fun projects to do. Like, but that's there's a reason though, Dara, because it's like, those are fun types of projects to do. You're telling real stories with real people rather than just creating something that is meant to sell something, right? I think that's just the idea of like trying something different.
I think it's
right?
Because it's easier than getting actors. That's probably the actual reason.
I wouldn't say so, man. Like I honestly, so. Like to find a good documentary story to tell could be a lot more difficult than actually putting together a narrative and hiring talent.
If that's true, how come like these streaming websites are loaded up with documentaries?
I said good ones. I didn't say terrible ones. I said to do a good documentary. Jesus. Anyone like can create
that. Everyone that's been in this business for over 20 years always says, oh, yeah, I'm trying to focus more on like documentaries and bop, 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 bop. So, yeah.
Watching 10 years, he's going to do it. He's like, Kiro, I cracked the code. We got to do a documentary. Nah, it's like,
it's
great.
It's too mainstream now. Every time I think of documentary, I just think of Netflix.
I mean, okay.
Which is like, I don't know. It's too common. But yeah, passion projects. We haven't had too many people mention it this year. It was mentioned a lot last year.
We had a few talk about it.
We had like two or three people mention that they want to start it. I haven't seen anyone actually like do it though. Finish it.
It's always on the back burner because again, once you have a lot of client work, that stuff always takes precedence. So unless you set aside time for it, it's not going
to
happen.
And it's too big. Anyways. Everyone's always trying to make it way too big. Like, if you really want to do it, I'm of the opinion, like, just create something small. Like, put it on social. Like, if you're going to do, like, a 90-minute documentary, you'll never get that thing done.
Yeah, that takes way too long. You got to start with some short ones. You know, dip your toes in. Like, that's one thing that I'm looking into a little bit for us in the future. But that's the only way to... That's the only way to do it. You got to start off small, like you said. Like the problem is sometimes people try to go too big right away, and because of that, you never get anything done because of how long it takes. Like
you can't do like a 3-minute documentary as like a test run for the idea. You probably can't do the 90-minute one.
Exactly.
That's me. That might be something hot take. Oh, Dyer's hot take.
No, that's a good tip, honestly, because. Like you said, if you're not able to carve out enough time to put together a short version or even like a proof of concept version, what makes you think you can actually?
Because that's what they do at like film festivals. Like you gotta have like the short film, and then like if it gets enough hype and attention, then you already have the feature ready, and you get the funding right away, and you go make it. That's usually, I think that's how it works now.
Again, this is a little speculative from us in terms of people who haven't gotten into the industry. But anyway, I think that covers pretty much some of the main topics that we've talked about on the podcast. We've obviously talked about a lot of other different ones. One that did pop up this year, like I guess this will be maybe like the last one, was that some companies have explored becoming B Corp certified. That did come up a few times this year. No, not that as came
up
as...
like that came up like once, and that came up originally last. That came up once. That was originally something that came up last year when we started doing some more West Coast companies, because that really is just a West Coast thing. If you go anywhere in the middle or east or any other country, that is not a thing. I doubt. And for those that don't know, it's basically some certification that you're green, you pay people a lot, blah 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 blah, all that stuff. It's fluff at the end of the day. Again, I think it's a West Coast thing. I think it makes sense if you are dealing with clients that are B Corp, because I think those guys get more points if they work with other companies that are B Corp. For anywhere outside of that region, it just seems like not worth it, because it's not an easy thing to do, and they take money for really it.
Open,
so
you also have to open up your books, essentially. You have
that's
to
basically fine. That's fine. The thing is, like, you got to pay for it, and it's not cheap. So if you're in a market where if you're in a market where there's not a lot of B Corps, it doesn't make any sense to me. And the fact that we're in a global recession also doesn't make sense for me to like I don't know why you would want to pay for that if you're not, if it's like just a little bonus thing. If you're not in the West Coast, don't do it. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Depends on the clients. Again, everything you do always depends on the types of clients that you're serving and seeing what they value. But yeah. Anyways, I think what we could probably now move on to is a little bit is,
well, what evaluation, are some of our goals? Well, hold on. The valuation is one that keeps coming up. So it's people that are trying to strengthen their business to be able to sell it. That, I don't know if that's been coming up on the show, but it was definitely coming up in the pre-interviews, and I think after
that came
the,
up a
during
bit.
The pre, I think the post-episode discussions we were having with the guests, like trying to create a business that you can sell in the future, is a topic that was coming up, and I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's something not a lot of us think about. I don't think a lot of people realize that it's not going to go for like a crazy amount, but it's still something to focus on with your business. So like, how can you create a business that you could potentially sell, or that it is value. Worth something? And you know, it starts off with something as simple as like having like a process, a system in place. Like stuff that was coming up was like making sure like you have, like, as an example, like the most up-to-date information for your clients, even past clients, because that is part like of a list that is going to generate money, right? That type of information is very important. Not a lot of us focus on that type of stuff. Like, that's something we started focusing on, is like really tracking all of our information, making sure we have like a system in place, everything's organized, everything's backed up. Like, that stuff is very important.
Yeah. Yeah, you always have to figure out ways to make your business efficient on the back end. But the thing is, like, with some of the things you were talking about, your processes and your portfolios and all that kind of stuff, this is all stuff that is still difficult to quantify over time, right? And then it'll become like a subjective kind of value that you would put on it, and that makes it difficult to sell, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about with when you're putting the partnership or the shareholder agreement together. You know, it's like, unless you're able to like get certain things that you can quantify, it will be a lot harder to kind of place a value. And then it's just going to become a matter of what is the market value of the business at the time, what you and your partners put a value on, you know, what you value.
I mean, if you really want to figure out like the number, it's easy. You just bring in like 2 to 3 evaluators and they'll give you like a number. And then you just kind of like average it out based on like what the first, second, and third person says. You could easily figure out the number then. I just got to pay for it. That's the only thing. But yeah, like, just preparing your business to sell, I think, is a good mindset to have. I don't think they're worth as much as someone might think they're worth, but it's still good to at least have that system in place. That, I think, is really important.
If not to sell, it's at the very least to make your business run smoothly and efficiently. That's the main thing, right?
Yeah. I think if you want to be a business owner, you do need to look at it that way and think of it like that. Otherwise, like, you're just the freelancer at that point. Like, that's the truth.
Yeah. And that was like one of the biggest issues that we had before starting the show, actually, right? And that's kind of how we operated before, and that's what we're continually trying to avoid, you know, going forward. But anyways,
minor topic before we're done with the topics, the awards discussion was pretty interesting. I think that came up twice.
Came up a couple times, but it's people who do it find it. The funny thing is, people who do the awards, I think, find it very valuable. People who don't find it very valuable.
Well, I never thought about. I just thought it was a money grab, and you just pay to get it type of situation. But
that's
Peter Shelves from El Dente Entertainment really turned, converted. Converted my thinking on it. I thought it was interesting how he looked at it more like a team building exercise and also something to make the client excited. I think that's actually pretty good way to think about it.
Because what he did, I think it was him who did this, where not only do you guys get the award and the trophy, but you also get an extra trophy for the client that you can give it to them, and that creates another level of a client experience for them. So that way you build on that relationship even more. It's like, look at this. Like, we did such great work together that we actually won an award, and it's not that. And then you get something that you're actually touching, right? You know, cause obviously in our industry, we're dealing with creating products and services for clients that are not physical, and you can't physically touch the videos that we create. Right. So having an award is kind of like,
You could touch the hard drive.
I do that all the time. But yeah, but the final product, you know, it's not physical, right? So like having an actual trophy or an award that you can give your client, it's something that really elevates the experience, you know? And so that was something I thought was, that made me interested in it a lot, is that side of it as well, right? Not just obviously, you know, you winning an award, being like, ooh, I won an award, you know, like that's one thing. But also elevating the client experience is a big bonus, which I don't think anyone thinks about initially, right?
No, I thought that was really interesting. After talking to Peter, I was like, oh, okay. There's some, you know, good reason to, you know, get an award or apply for an award. So that was
good. Now it's just a matter of which videos, which categories, and then we can just go.
Actually, on that note, another one would be focusing on LinkedIn. Lyft Grant from Lyft Video Production, that episode, he really could like change my mind on LinkedIn. Like when he told me about how he uses it and all that stuff, I was like, man, let me try this out. Like maybe there's some truth to this. And I think he's right. I think for us, it's good to utilize LinkedIn just to be top of mind for people.
It's the main thing.
For new business, I don't know. I think new business, I haven't cracked that code yet, but I think it's so tricky with us.
Essentially what he basically highlighted for us is that social media like Instagram, LinkedIn, and all those places are great for staying active and showing current and new clients that are coming through, is that you're also not a dead company. That was the main thing that they were talking about. Because when you look at a lot of companies in our industry, they would have like an Instagram page or a LinkedIn page and rarely would ever post on it, to the point where you can't even tell if they're active, right? You know, when you think about it.
I think just LinkedIn, like Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram is TikTok, one,
but
I think it's good if you're targeting small businesses that are active on those, e-commerce businesses, that makes sense. Or your wedding company. That's the only time it makes sense. If you do corporate, I think just LinkedIn, just to be top of mind for your clients, that's the only reason.
Because that's where they're active, you know?
They're active on LinkedIn.
Like, all corporate and B2B types of clients are only active on LinkedIn mainly. So they want to see other partners and vendors being active as well. If they're active, you're active, then you get top of mind. And then sometimes people will message you out of the blue. It's like, hey, you know, like I got this video that's coming up and I saw what you did recently for X, Y, and Z. This is what I'm looking to do, because you never know. Everyone changes and evolves over time, and people that you worked with back in the day, they might have worked with others, you know. So just sometimes a simple quick reminder is good.
LinkedIn definitely, like be active on it. But LinkedIn is a weird place, man. Like, because if you start liking people's posts, like, you just start getting those people over and over again. Like,
yeah.
I like to support our guests and everything, so I tend to like a lot of their content. And I notice, I'm like, oh my god, it's just the same people over and over and over again. I can't see like new people posting anymore. It's like a weird algorithm they have.
Yeah, and people like to engage with content that's specifically centered on you and like what you're doing, not just what your business is doing. So I feel like there's a, like that element that goes into it as well. It's like, remember to share not just from your company, but also you personally, because people in your network will engage a little bit more with you in that sense. That's one thing I noticed with some.
I wonder if that's an algorithm I've been testing thing. I wonder it could if that's be, an algorithm. Because yeah. It's like, it's not be. A person. I'm pretty sure it's an algorithm thing, because I've posted content directly and then posted it through the business page, and like the business page almost never generates like anywhere
even
close
if you share
to
it.
The same engagement.
Even if you share it. Even if you share it, that's the thing I noticed. Like I posted like two or three behind the scene photos of like a shoot that I did for us recently. And that thing got quite a bit of engagement more than I was expecting. And then I posted the actual video from what that was from, posted it on the business page, and then shared it and commented about it on my personal, but it didn't get as much engagement as well. So yeah, it could really be, like you said, something with the business pages algorithm. Don't get as much push, then I don't know. Yeah,
because they want you to, I think, because they're pushing you to pay. That's the only thing that makes sense for me.
So you got to do it all. You got to do it all personal and then tag.
Give them the money. Give LinkedIn more money.
Yeah, but anyway, I think that pretty much rounds up all the topics that we, a lot of the main topics that we went over the past year and a half. And now, in terms of like the future, Dario, what are some of the goals that we have for not just the podcast, but also for the business? Like, what's like a main goal that you
podcast is a well-oiled machine at this point. I'm sticking to just, I wanted to do 50 episodes this year. I really wanted to challenge myself, and I could have, to be honest with you, I could have. It was just taking up way too much time. Everything and also I noticed like I need time to like process,
the information.
This information I learned from people and apply it. I found that like doing too many episodes over a short period of time, I was starting to get bored of doing them. And then also I was starting to not be able to bring new stuff to the table or be interested enough to ask different things. So I was hearing similar stuff over a short period of
time. That's what I noticed with that, is that a lot of the topics started to kind of blend in with some of the episodes, because I think our perspectives weren't as fresh compared to like in the previous years. Like almost like the way we did it was like posting like once every 2-3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks sometimes, depending on what the month was like for us. And then, but then again, we did kind of record a lot of episodes. And
no, that's how we were doing it before previous years was recording a lot at the beginning of the year and then just getting too busy with stuff so they would get posted a lot later. Tried to spread it out. We were doing at least
we did good this year, an episode a week.
But I think I'm going to spread it out a bit more for next year and cap it, I think, at whatever every 2 weeks would be. Like, I think going forward, these episodes will start like second week of January, because that's when everyone's back, and then they'll end second week of December. So however many, and then bi-weekly, however many that is, it's probably
it's
around
like 20
like 20
to 25 episodes. 20 to 25 episodes.
Yeah, roughly. Like, but doing it consistently, I noticed the stats were going up, like a
little bit.
On RSS, I noticed we were getting consistent like amount of listeners, and on YouTube, I think it was averaging out to be however many, but I'm glad I pushed for it, because now we can see how it would be like, because the previous years it was kind of like on the back burner, like if we get to it, we get to it type of thing.
Previous years we didn't have it as efficient with Riverside, right? Like before, we used to
Riverside helps a lot. People don't
we wouldn't have been able to we haven't been able we wouldn't have been able to do what we did this year if it wasn't for Riverside, because before we used to basically have us recording everything on our end, the guests recording on their end, and then that became such a convoluted process to make sure we get everything together. Then we have to edit the video together. Then we have to create the content for it. And then Riverside just became so efficient with its AI. Thank God for AI. And this is one of those areas where AI became a leveraged tool for us that saved us hours on a weekly basis that allowed us to do more. But
I can pump out one of these and like, actually the cool thing is after the episode's done recorded within like 5 or 10 minutes, I can immediately send the client or the client, the guest, like an auto cut up like version of the episodes. Like all I have to do is just trim the beginning and ending and add her intro outro. But sometimes they're curious. They're like, oh, can I listen to it before you post it? I'm like, wait 2 more minutes and I'll send you a link.
It's
check amazing. It out and. Yeah, and it's so fast, and like all the reels you guys are seeing, they're from Riverside. Like, I actually lately I don't even like.
You don't have to do too much cutting with it, right?
I just select like make it between 1 to 3 minutes long, like, and then I just kind of like I used to actually at the beginning of the year, I was going through it and like manually checking and listening to it and like extending, removing, Now I just like. I kind of a little lazy, so I just kind of read the title that it generates and then kind of listen to it once and just export it. If they're interested, they can go listen to the full episode.
And if you listen to it once and it's generally there, like, again, with stuff, depending on the work that you're doing, and you got to figure out what's efficient for you. And for us, like, we're trying to save as much time as possible while still providing something decent because, like, it's the content, you know, like, yeah, we're using the Riverside packaging, you know, and it keeps getting better and better. So we're trying to test it out and see kind of what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, it's better to do more at 80% quality than less at like 95%.
I think this is actually better than the quality we were outputting before.
Because now we didn't have time.
It was so time consuming. We had other shit to do, like running laps, and then had to do this on the side, and then, you know, like, it was becoming a chore because of the time, but now, because it's so fast, like, it's not as, like, much of a chore. Like, I can pump out, like, I think every Monday I just sit for, like, an hour, hour and a half, and I'm able to, like, pump out the episode, the reels, and then, like, just organize everything on my end, upload the episode, I mean, publish the webpage, all that shit, and everything. It's so much faster now. Like, hour and a half, it's good. You guys get a fresh episode. Compared to before, it used to take us, like, 4 hours to edit an episode. Like, manually. Yeah. So time-consuming.
Yeah, and that's if you don't get distracted, you know? Because I remember back in the day, like, when we were actually editing the video, like, I'd be working on it, and then a client would send an email asking about something. So I'm like, okay, let me pause this for a second, go to that. All right, let me go back to that. Nope, Dario's calling. What does he want? Okay, let's see.
So time consuming, it
can get time consuming in that sense. But anyway, so the whole point of it is the goal of the podcast, continue what we're doing, except, you know, maybe change up how often we post, 20 to 25 episodes over the next year. So we're looking at basically getting to episode 200 after about 4 to 5 years, depending on how we go with the posting. But who knows, our goals might change at the end of next year as well. But so that's,
we'll see how it
that's
goes.
Creatives Grab Coffee. That's Creatives Grab Coffee. On the lap side of things, because of the show, we've learned that we want to start obviously focusing on more marketing and focusing more on LinkedIn, you know, because it's definitely something that's going to be more interesting. Definitely going to be something that could be leveraged for us in the future to stay top of mind with clients, because one of the biggest challenges is also trying to maintain current relationships. You know, you're not working with all of your clients every single week on a weekly basis, right? That's not the nature of our business, right? So there are some clients that you work with once a year, twice a year, depending on what events or marketing plans or strategies they're trying to execute. So, you know, in other parts of the year, try to figure out ways to engage them in other ways, right? And focusing on LinkedIn is one thing that we want to do. Dario, what is another goal of ours for this coming year?
This coming year, I want to fix up a lot of the pages on the website and create new pages too. Actually, I'm calling it Project Satriali's Edit Shop. I got that idea from one of our financial clients. They always have like, they call them Project, and then I can't say it because of legal reasons, but the the project and then the name of the thing is always based on like their environmental theme. So I was like, okay, let me create one for us. So Cetrioli's meat shop is from The Sopranos, which I love. So I was
Project
like,
Cetrioli's Polly, Project Tony.
So I called it Project Cetrioli's Edit Shop. So basically, I'm going through all the current pages that we have up on the website and just editing them, making sure they're optimized properly. And then I'm also creating specific pages for like AdWords and all that stuff. Again, big SEO focus. That's for the website. And then ideally, I would like to do a beautification of the site, but I think
I want that so badly. We need help with that. We need help.
And we're gonna need to hire someone to do it, and I'm gonna test them out first with the podcast website, and then I'm gonna monitor it and see if it doesn't fuck up anything. And if it doesn't, then I'll get them to do the lapse one as well.
Maybe we could do that with the wedding one. That might actually be
wedding is Squarespace. So for those that don't know, we started our own wedding company last year. Again, we like to do stuff in reverse because that is the lapse approach. So, you know, instead of being videographer first and then starting a company, we decided to start the company first and then also do videography. And then as is tradition, we decided to do the same thing with the wedding company, which was like everyone always wants to get out of the weddings. I think it's just great side income. So I'm kind of cool with it. And then last year, one of the guys I was freelancing for, big company in Toronto, they is a wedding videography company. They were going to close it down. So I was actually offering him to take it over. And I'm like, wait, I might need help because it's a big company. So I asked Kirill, I'm like, are you interested in taking over that company? And Kirill was like, yeah, let's do it. So I was like, okay, approach the guy. He's not interested, still wanted to close it. I'm like, no problem. And then our photography partner, what happened was at first I was like, well, the people that are working there that are now going to be out of a job, I was like, why don't we do something with them? And then I was like, it's gonna be too many people, it's gonna be a fucking disaster.
It got too complicated. Like we there and I were going over all the scenarios of like, is there something here for us to kind of like take over? And then I just suggested, you know what, dude, I think we need to just start our own thing from scratch.
Just do our own thing.
It's just gonna be easier. You and I know each other. We know how this business works. Like Dar and I together have been like shooting weddings on the side for like 11 years.
I wanted to do this the year before, but you weren't interested. I don't know what changed your mind last year.
Well, no, last year is when we decided to do it.
I was 2023. I wanted to start a new business in 2023, but you weren't interested in starting a wedding company. And then that guy was closing, and then
I think goals change, and then also like potential opportunities kind of, you know, also like when there's shifts in the market, that's kind of like when you can kind of
bought a truck. That's what happened. He bought a truck.
No, the truck came later. The truck came like 6 months after we opened the business. So that wasn't a
flannel.
That wasn't
he
a
bought
factor.
A flannel shirt and a truck, and he suddenly needed to
Money. No, but the thing I learned was my biggest shift was essentially figuring out how to free up weekends a little bit more, because obviously like if you were to fill up your weekends in a year, like say 20-30 weddings, there's 20-30 days of your weekends basically gone at that point, right? Whereas if you did the equivalent like your own company with your own clients, maybe like one or two or maybe half of those days will get freed up in terms of the equivalent amount of work that you would do if it was your own client, right? Because yeah, maybe obviously there's going to be more work on the front end and on the back end, but on the actual physical shooting days, that does shift a little bit. So that's kind of like what we're trying to figure out for the future as well, right? And then
I wish I could send this video back to Kirill in 2023 when he's like, oh yeah, I want to stop doing weddings soon. And then 2 years later...
It's a shifting of
they ever invent a time machine, I'm gonna like export this clip and like send it back to you. Little
send
did
it
he
back
know.
To me, right?
What do
well,
less
yeah,
well,
think about it. We're trying to maximize our time, right? That's
the irony, though, is that like The irony is that because it's a new business, at least for the next couple of years,
it takes like, a lot of work in the beginning. Yeah.
Well, actually, I thought it was, but it's actually pretty straightforward now. I like how it's just making at least me less reliable on the other companies. Because again, that company
that's what I wanted as well. Like,
I lost like 30 weddings because that company closed down. That was a lot of work, a lot of money. That wasn't like chump change. Like 30 weddings all of a sudden gone. I'm like, fuck. Like, yeah, that was brutal, man.
The thing is that when you're freelancing for other production companies, you're pretty much at the mercy of if they're going to give you work or not, right? With any relationship.
No, but you can kind of like, you can kind of like guesstimate and go like, well, I get this much from this guy every year, but you don't expect them to close. That was like left field. I'm like, oh my God, man. Like, what the fuck am I going to do now? Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, so we're basically going back and just relying on ourselves. That's the idea. And then having it as its own separate machine, basically, separate business. It's not
I really don't know why a lot of people in our industry are against the weddings. I think for what they are, like, it's great side income. Like, that's like, I think people get too emotional about the wedding thing. Like, ah, fuck it. Like, I don't do that. I'm too fucking bougie and high class for that shit. Like, bro, it's just money at the end of the day. It's just a side income. Like, it's a side business. That's how I view it. Like, we're good at it. I'm passionate about it. But at the same time, like, I'm just viewing the company Silverleaf as just a side income, like a side business that we're doing in addition.
Yeah.
It's a side business. Like, I don't know why people get so emotional about it. Like, it's just
people don't
business.
Know how to learn with it. People also don't know how to learn with it because sometimes focusing on different kinds of industries, different tactics and strategies there can help you figure out what might work and not work in other businesses, right? Like focusing on actually like putting content together for weddings and you know, having another creative element that you can work on rather than just selling products all the time, you know, can really change your perspective. I'm not saying you have to mix in your businesses together because I know some companies do that where they have a company that does both corporate and weddings. I don't think that's the right way to go.
No. Keep people. It separate. That's bad. Yeah, that's Bush League stuff. Keep it separate.
Yeah. But keep it separate. And then it's its own thing, right? You know, like every, people can have multiple businesses. You know, you're not meant to, you don't have to just do the one thing
strictly
all the time,
do
right?
Corporate. I strictly do commercials. It's like, Brad, chill, man. It's just business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
but like in putting together some content for some of our recent weddings, you know, like I'm figuring out little things that can help in terms of like, for example, how to produce some of the content for the corporate side of things and what might work there. So like, don't be afraid of it, right? You know, if you feel like you're comfortable with it and you like what you're doing, then go for it.
For me, it was a great way to check out and see how we run our processes and just archiving and all that stuff. Because like, I tried to approach it from like a different perspective, and I actually tried to look at it like a fresh, like I tried to do everything fresh for it.
Yeah.
And then in doing that, I kind of realized some things we could improve with laps. And especially when it comes to weddings, I'm very nervous about, you know, missing stuff with the couple or losing stuff or anything like that. So our backup and archiving process, I gave it a whole new overhaul and we just applied that whole system to laps.
Yeah, and the first big purchase as a result of starting this business was this big hard drive tower that I got for us because I'm like, we need something that's more central that we can, if we need to, we can make a master kind of like archive. And then we have our online archives, then we have all our backup drives, then we have the backups at Dario's and stuff like that. But it's at least like there's one main one that's like where everything can be on it for like 2 years. That's what I was hoping for. That way. Yeah. Like, especially when you get into this industry, like, especially now with technology, how it's evolving, you know, like the files are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So you need more and more.
Well, there's also the fact that we started Labs 11 years ago. And when you start something that long ago, excuse me,
you don't know how it started.
There's going to be bad habits that you carry on into like future developments. So with the company is called Silverleaf Weddings. And with Silverleaf, I really did go like, okay, how would I do this? Like, if I don't know anything about how I normally do my stuff with Laps. So organizing stuff in Google Drive, like all that stuff. I looked at it from a fresh perspective, and that really helped, like, yeah, look at Laps in a different way. And then looking at it, I'm like, I want to change this, I want to change that. And making sure, like, our archiving is rock solid, because...
Just being organized.
Being organized and, like, yeah, getting your shit together and everything. And also, because there's now three things that we have running, so Laps, CGC, Silverleaf, I have to be really good with time management and, like, make sure everything's, like, running well so it doesn't interfere with the other. That's also another reason why, like, CGC is only going to be every other week. And, like,
yeah,
I was trying to actually, with the reels, I was trying to post them every day. And then I was like, fuck it, just three a week. That's all you guys are getting.
It's not doable. And, like, especially when you're running multiple businesses, there, as Daria mentioned, you need to have, like, a certain amount of focus for each one on a weekly basis. And look, it's not like you're going to be able to give yourself 40 hours a week for every business that you have coming through.
Nah, right? Man, like, people don't realize, like, yeah, like CGC, I did so much work for this, like, at night. Like, my girlfriend's looking at me. I'm like, give me, like, another 30 minutes, which turns into an hour.
We've had those. That's how it is with the late night editing. I know what that's like.
So much of that. Like, she's a trooper for putting up with that. And Silverleaf, too. Like, that was a lot of working in the evenings, just trying to get everything off the ground, like networking with planners and other photographers and everything. That took a lot of work. But now it's at the point where, like, at least on my end, I don't have to put in a lot of work on that. Everything's kind of, like, set. There's just some stuff here and there. Podcast, same thing. Like, now that it's, like, I'm spreading it out, like, and when I have a stockpile of episodes, like, good till, like, end of August. Like, I can chill and just do a little bit, just an hour and a half, basically. Like, once a week, and I kind of have everything set for the week. Like, it's fine now. I can just focus a lot on Laps. And even with Laps, like, a lot of the stuff, it's like we're working on some projects and, like, Kirill's handling that, I don't have to worry about it. And then, like, for the other stuff, I just give myself, like, pretty generous goals, like editing the website. I gave myself the full year to do that, because there's, like, 60 pages. I can't just do, like, three pages.
Is it really that many pages we have on the website?
Bro, 60? There's like fucking like 40 something odd, like 50 page, like, blog posts. No.
Oh, 40 blog posts. I forgot about the blog. Yeah. Sorry. I forgot about
that. I got to fix. And then there's like 20 pages that are a mix between, like, you know, foundational pages and, like, sub pages. And I got to, like, rework all of them. And that's going to take a while. So, like, if you give yourself, like, a generous, like, timeline as well, like, you can get it done. But that's, like, one thing. And then posting realistic on LinkedIn timelines is so time consuming too. You got to set time aside for it. But, like, again, like, it's not, at the end of the day, it's not that much work, really. I just, like, I find that the thing is, you just got to be quick with stuff when it comes in. If you let it pile up, then it becomes, like, a mess.
That's the main thing. Like, one of the main, like, I'm going to be leaving for vacation in about a week or so. And there were, like, a bunch of projects that I know that are going to be due close to like when I come back. So I, like, over the last month, I've just been focusing on getting a lot of things off of our plate that is coming up for after that. It's like, and now I got to the point where I think there's literally only one thing, and that's, like, with still a lot of time coming after the fact. And that's what you got to do with your business. You got to figure out, like, what deadlines are coming up. You have to figure out how you can be efficient, you know, like, to get those things off your plate. And as Dario said, you know, like, if you let things pile up, it can get really overwhelming. And trust me, especially since the last 6 months, for those of you who don't know, I had got a workplace injury last year, and I
wasn't workplace
got,
injury. What
sorry,
the fuck
not
are you talking
a, what
about?
Am I saying? Workplace. Yeah.
Workplace
I got an
injury.
I got an injury playing soccer.
You got injury kicking a balloon. That's what happened.
Yeah. Anyways, point is, I had surgery back in November, so I couldn't shoot for months. And as a result, I started focusing only on the post-production side of things and editing. And what I learned very quickly was how to make things a lot more efficient. I got a lot faster with editing, to the point where it's like, okay, now the system has gotten a lot better with this sense. So, like, that's, I guess, one thing that you also have to learn running your business, is how you can pivot and adapt and then leverage that for the future. But to the point.
Workplace injury. You're killing me.
Bro. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
How did you come up with that?
I don't know why I said workplace. It was not a workplace injury.
Oh my God, man.
Yeah, Dario.
If an insurance company ever listens to this, he's talking out of his ass right now. Workplace injury.
Dario kicked my knee.
Yeah, he dropped the sandbag on his knee and tore his ACL.
Yeah, right. But anyway, the whole point is now you got to figure out how to be efficient with your business, be organized, and then for us, continue creating the content that we're doing, slowly grow the businesses, and see kind of where it goes. So.
Yeah. But yeah, they're all well oiled machines at this point, all three, to the point where I'm
only get better.
I'm just what can I do now? I feel like I'm getting bored a little bit. I'm trying to think of a new business idea to start because podcast is running fine. It's easy to do. Doesn't take up a lot of time. Silverleaf is pretty much fine right now. And now
wait till we start getting a lot more clients. That's when things will keep us busy, don't worry.
I don't know. I'm already drumming up some new ideas. Maybe a new podcast idea would be cool. A different topic. I'm tired of talking about the video industry.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Something else.
Movies?
Something else. I don't know. Anything other than video. No, movies is still video related. Nothing video related.
He wants to do something this is one of Dario's passion projects. He wants to, his passion idea of a passion project has nothing to do with what else he does.
Yeah, I like challenging myself.
He's going to be an espresso connoisseur. That's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, but I can't do a podcast out of that. And I already figured out espressos. So now.
Oh, yeah. And you can't do that because it's too related to Creatives Grab Coffee now, right? So you got to do something else.
And we really need to find a sponsor for this show. I have someone in mind. I got to try out their beans first. And then if they're good, then I'll approach them.
I think beggars can't be choosers when it comes to sponsorship.
Well, we don't need it, to be honest with you. So I can't be a chooser. But we have someone in mind. I think it'll be someone. It's definitely going to be Toronto-based because we got to represent the Toronto Bean Roasters. But someone in mind. Let's see if it goes through. I think you guys will like it. We'll try to get you guys a nice 10% subscription discount or something.
Yeah. But I got to say, it's crazy that we're now here, though, at 100 episodes of this podcast. This definitely wasn't something that
I was expecting for us to get to.
There's still more for us to go through. You want to go? Because I know
I don't know what you said. What did you say again? What did you say your goal was for the business?
One of the goals that I was talking about was focusing more on the marketing and on LinkedIn. Kind of what some of our other guests have talked about. That's probably one of the main things. That's a big thing that we need to focus on.
I said the website, potential redesign. There was also staying in touch with past clients.
We talked about that already.
As a goal. Did you say that as part of your marketing? That's part of your marketing.
Yeah. I mentioned it as part of the marketing. Those are the main things, really. Everything else is mostly small stuff. I guess one thing is, it's good. We obviously want to keep trying to dip our toes into different industries if possible, and just try out different kinds of projects. We did one recently for a tennis client, which was a lot of fun to do. And then, I guess that. But aside from that, I think we pretty much covered everything, right?
Yeah, we did some stuff. I'm actually looking through my notes because I have a list on under my Google Keep of stuff. We actually did a lot of it already. It's just really marketing stuff at the end of the day.
The marketing is the main thing that we need to focus on over the next year. I think what we did with the first half of this year was essentially just focusing on refining our systems, getting the second business off the ground. That's where a lot more of our focus kind of went to it.
We fixed up the finance. We looked at I already knew we were in a recession. I just thought they were government was finally going to go public with it, so I was like, let's start fixing leakage anywhere we could.
Leakage my balls.
That's a casino reference for the uninitiated. So we did fix up our finances quite a bit, a lot. We went through everything that we were spending money on. It's like, is this needed? Is that needed? Okay, put a cap on equipment for the year. Well, this, that, the other thing.
That's one thing a lot of businesses need to make sure that they're able to do, is make sure there's a good cash flow in your business, because there's nothing worse than like being strapped for cash when you absolutely need it. You know, like, don't overextend yourself if you can, you know.
Otherwise,
like,
you might need to start a second business, right?
Yeah.
8.99% APR got them good. We did the partnership, which is a goal. We did the life insurance, which is another goal.
We did quite, honestly, when you think about it, the first
we cleaned up our Google Drive, which was like, I was looking at it, I'm like, this thing is disgusting. We got to clean this up. Yesterday, I finally finished it. I'm like, we went from like 12 main folders to like six. Carol was like, what did you do? Deleted this, deleted that. I'm like, you haven't opened that document in 3 years. You were never going to reopen it. I'm like, it's gone.
That's come about basically also, like, as we mentioned, like, from what we learned doing the second business, like, how efficient do we need to make the business to the business organization here? This is it. Okay, great. Let's see how we can apply it to the main one, and then just kind of take
very easy there, but... if you guys haven't opened the document in over a year, just delete it. You're never going to use it again, I'm telling you.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of this one meme I saw where, like, someone said that after vacation, when they come back, they delete their entire inbox, and they say, like, why'd you do that? It's like, if it's really important, they will get back to me again. When I heard that, I'm like, oh, that must work in like the corporate world, because I know, like, anytime we come back from vacation, my wife, her inbox is flooded with so many emails, and I'm like, yeah, like, I think that would be a great thing to implement.
So one thing we learned from that too is that if they're on vacation and you email them and they haven't gone back to you, just follow up, because they probably deleted that whole unread email list. Archiving too. I don't think a lot of people do this. If you use Google Drive or Dropbox, back it up. Back up all the documents. I do once a week backups now, because, like, imagine if, like, a lot of it is on Google Drive for us. And I was like, fuck, if we lose this, like, there goes all of our proposals, all the accounting sheets and everything. I back up the whole folder, minus, like, the client thing that has all, like, the video footage and stuff. That one I don't back up, because that's already backed up separately. But
massive files.
Every other document thing is backed up. Like, the same way you back up your website, you should be backing up your Google Drive folder. Because what if it goes down, right?
Yep.
Also uploaded that on Dropbox as well, just to have, like, a separate copy somewhere else. But archiving was something we were really needing to do on, like, not just footage, but, like, the whole business as a whole.
Yeah.
Digitizing receipts, stuff like that. We'd started doing that this year. Trying to find new freelancers is a bit of a pain in the ass. I don't know what we're gonna do for that.
Found a couple, but you still need more.
I thought it was gonna be a lot easier than it ended up being. I thought it was gonna be a lot easier, but it ended up being a lot harder than I thought.
I don't know why you thought it would. I don't know why you thought it would be easier.
Well, I figured, like, it's an ongoing thing. For the videographers, I was like, yeah, but for the videographers, I figured, I'm like, I got 150 people applied. 10 of them, at least, right? 10. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm asking for 10. We got two.
He's asking for, what was it, 10%-ish? Yeah.
Yeah, like something. Like, the people that applied, like, most, like, we narrowed it down to 30, and it's all big-time DPs. And I'm like, bruh, you've seen my website. I don't do movies. I don't do Nike commercials.
This is one of those classic things where it's like, you're too overqualified for this position.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now I understand why, like, McDonald's won't hire someone with a PhD. It's like, why would I bring you in? Like, I'm looking for someone that... fresh out of high school, you know, like, what would I need?
You,
like,
if you want to swat a fly, you just need a fly swatter. You don't need a bazooka, you know. It's one of those things. You don't need to level your house to get this.
But that's a bad sign. When I saw all those things, I'm like, oof, that's not a good sign. If the DP is out of work and they're applying to, I'm not saying we're like low grade, but it's like you do Nike stuff, you're applying to like what we do, like Fortune 500 stuff, like what? Like, this doesn't make sense.
Wait, are you saying that we're the Fortune 500?
Like, no, like, I mean, we do, like, corporate stuff, like corporate, you know? Like, I'm talking
Fortune 5 million, baby.
Like, AGMs, webinars. Like, you do Nike commercials. Like, why are you applying for this? And it's like, man, if they're out of work and they're getting desperate, think about how many people work under a DP. That means those guys are also out of work, which was a bad sign from what I saw.
Yeah, there's a whole department that some people don't realize that goes under them. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's not a good sign.
Not good. So, but yeah. Anyways, the point is figure out how you can keep yourself going. Having longevity in this business is like people don't realize like how important it is, and you gotta
cut the
make
fat.
Time to focus on that.
Less overhead.
Cut the fat. Yeah, 100%. You know, get rid of those studios if you don't need them, you know?
Studios. But even something as simple as, like, downgrading your storage locker. Like,
oh my God,
we save $100 a month because of that. We went from, like, 300 to...
No, we went from, like, 350 because that's what it was getting to. And
they
were going to raise it on us. So we went for... Yeah, because, like, if you have, like, a 10-by-10-foot locker, see if you can cut that down in half. Like, one of the genius things we did was, like, we had a 10-by-10 and then we got a 5-by-5 each that's closer to us. It's like perfect. This is maximizing everything while cutting our cost by 40%. That's essentially what we were able to
do. Oh wow, I thought it was just $100 difference.
No, because it was getting to like 330, I think, with the cost, and they wanted to raise it a bit more. And I think my locker costs about $90.
Mine's 89 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, 180. So that's like about $150 being saved right there.
Oh man. Like, I was so happy when we did that switch. I was like, cause number one, like we lived in different parts of the city. So it was like,
well, before it made sense because we were close,
right
in
the middle,
closer to each other.
Yeah. It was right in the middle for us. And yeah, I moved and then it just became like way too much of a distance for me to travel to, and also like it was getting sketchy, you know, like that's the thing I don't like about storage lockers. There's always like sketchy people in storage lockers, even in my current one. Like, you go at certain times and you're like,
oh yeah, when I went to yours,
who comes here? Like, no bro, any storage locker I've been through, like
mine
four
has
storage
been okay. So knock on trust
wood,
me go
at
go
at
so far.
Go at different times, man, like you'll see characters there where you're like, ugh, sure. I'm sharing it with them, like it's so sketchy. Like, long term I would love to just not have a storage locker, because like I just don't like who shows up at times. But yeah, like definitely do what we did, switch. Yeah, like that's like a creative way. Like, even if we were like a one-man operation, that's actually a pretty clever way to save costs. Like, have 2 5-by-5s if you have like a 10-by-10, especially like in our situation, like our 10-by-10
or a 5-by-10,
The reason we went to 2 5-by-5s is because we were really just using 5-by-10 of the space. Like,
well,
it was just...
Well, what we did, there was a couple of things. One, we were actually using about half the actual space that we had there. The middle was just like a place where we could walk in so you could see everything, right?
And like, we're just storing garbage. I think we went through item inventory too. We're like, we did spring cleaning basically. We're like,
yeah.
We don't need, because I remember one time I went there and it was like, after having to go there against my will, I was looking at it and I was like, we don't need half of this shit. Like, half of this stuff is like garbage or stuff we haven't touched in years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, we sold a lot of stuff.
Let's
sold
get
a lot
rid
of things
of it,
that we
man.
Don't need.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Yeah, that, and then, you know, we made some money from the stuff we sold as well. That was nice. Just gathering dust.
Yeah. So, whatever you do in your business, figure out how to trim the fat, be nimble, stay organized, plan for the future. That is our podcast.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah, 100 episodes, though. This is great. Like I mentioned before, I didn't expect that we would be creating this to get to this point, but I mean, we're technically already over 100.
You have low hopes, Carol. You gotta be optimistic.
Look, when we started this back in 2020, I just wanted us to get some work to come through the front door. I was not thinking, yeah, this is going to be the thing that we'll get it to 100 episodes and then we'll see where it goes. Like that,
you know, wasn't if anyone's thinking of starting their own, because I talk to people at times and they're like, oh yeah, I'm thinking of starting my own. Like, do it for the fun of it. But it is very time consuming. Like,
yeah,
it is going to, like, if you want it, like, I'm not saying like there were a couple times that we're going to drop this one. Just because we're just getting busy, and like I was looking at it, I'm like, man, we're not really putting in the effort for it, but like it's fun. It is very
time-consuming. Don't do it to make money. Don't do it to make money. Then I think that's what a lot of people make the mistake of doing. They do these.
We made money indirectly, like surprisingly. Yes, like, yeah, don't do it for the money because you won't.
Yeah.
Like we happen to make money out of this because of the connections we made. That's it.
Yeah.
But like we weren't, I never expect to make, like every time we get a project out of this, I'm like, oh, I didn't expect it. But yeah, it's nice that bonus. We have it. Just bonus stuff. Yeah. Like it's kind of paid for itself in a way, considering the amount of time we put into the show.
Yeah.
But it's been really fun. And I got to say the lessons that we've learned were worth way more than how much it cost to make the show, because it helped us grow from small company to pretty decent sized company, and we're like a player on the field officially, which is rare. It's hard to break into that, so it really helped. I think the only reason we're really continuing it is just because might learn something that might make us more money. That's really it.
There's that. Yeah, it's all a learning game, and you know, it's fun, and it's a good way to connect with other people in the industry and just like see what works for other people, because it's like, yeah, like there are ideas that are brought up and experiences that are just so interesting to hear. And, you know, it's good to do something where you could be curious about. I think that's the thing. If you want to do a podcast, find something that you're genuinely curious about. Because if you're not curious about it, then that podcast is destined to die. Because then you're not going to dive in further and further. Like, figure out who you want to learn from. Figure out what you want to learn about. And, I mean, I think that's a bit of everything. Even starting as a business. Well,
this thing technically is a business if you look at it that way.
Yeah, but it won't be easy to sell because, you know, again, it's the advantage. The difference is that it's all following, right? When you have a show,
everyone wants about a following. They want to sell it. I'm cool with just closing it in the future, to be honest. All three businesses, just close it.
It's meant for you and me, man. Like, it's meant for us to create good work together, you know, collaborate and, you know, have fun essentially, right? And provide mainly for the future, for future families, you know, because right now our two families are 2 and 2. Who knows where it will get to, right? And hopefully like these 2 to 3 businesses technically will help provide for us for many, many years to come. That's the goal.
Cool. All right, let's end it off there.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for staying with us for 100 episodes, and here's to another.
Those of you that did stay, those of you that didn't, too bad.
It's sayonara.
See you in the next podcast.
Thanks. Take care. Thanks for listening to this episode of Creatives Grab Coffee. Please make sure to follow and engage with us on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, and your favorite podcast app.
Creatives Grab Coffee is created by Laps Productions, a video production company based in Toronto, Canada.
Creatives Grab Coffee is also sponsored by...
My name is Miran. Welcome to Canada Film Equipment. We are a boutique rental house based in Toronto. We are here to help you guys out with all production sizes. Feel free to contact us to get a quote if you are a production house and you're looking for lighting, camera packages, or lighting and group band packages. You can see our contact information in the link below. We are more than happy to help you guys out. Make sure you follow and subscribe to creativesgrabcoffee.com. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt. Welcome to Audio Process. We are a boutique audio company doing location sound, sound design, post sound, ADR, Foley. We service equipment. We do all your audio needs here in Toronto. We got you covered. Come on down, audioprocess.ca. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all of the other internet things to creativesgrabcoffee.com. They'll be waiting for you, I'll be waiting for you, and we're all gonna have a real good time.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.